few seconds early. I just wanted to make sure I got online. All right, 1 second. Good evening. What I want to discuss, Chalamoid, is the thing that we change from the first 2 days, Yom Tov, to the second, to the Chalamoid, and the last 2 days, is the Hallel that we say. We say, interestingly enough, we only say all year long, we say Hallel only in daylight hours. And we know that from, as the Gemara Megillah points out, the Pasuk in the first paragraph of Hallel says, Mimizrach Shemesh ad Mavo'o Mehulo Seim Hashem. From sunrise till the sun rises until the sunset is the time to praise God. And that is the time for certain prayers, and Hallel being one of them. And so we know that we say Hallel in daylight hours. So the question arises, obviously, why the night of the Seder we say it in the evening? But of course, at the Seder, we say it out of joy. Now, we're just so overcome with emotion because we're talking about all the nisim and inflows, all the miracles, all the supernatural occurrences that happened, the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, getting out of Mitzrayim, which nobody was ever able to do previous to this. Nobody ever escaped, and like Alcatraz to some degree. But nevertheless, this is something that we do, but of course we say it without a bracha at the Seder, because for one major reason, it's interrupted in the middle by the meal. We say two paragraphs, and then we interrupt it with the meal. Of course, there's a difference between the beginning of Hallel and the end. The first two paragraphs have to do with the past, events leading up to our redemption, and the future is after the meal, we have the future. But of course, the minhag has become, and it's obviously more widespread now, that they say after Ma'ariv on the first few nights in a lot of shuls, obviously so many, more and more, that they say Hallel in shul with a bracha. And of course, since that minhag has gained so much traction, we can't look askance at it, obviously. It's obviously become a very well-accepted custom, and therefore we would wonder why, if it says that we shouldn't do it. Because the fact is, there are two reasons that one reads Hallel. And one is, of course, at the Seder, we burst into song after we read Dayenu and all the other things, Avodim Hoyinu, how far we make mention of how far we've come as a nation from the Tchila of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avosenu. We start with Avodim Hoyinu, but, you know, we always want to find how far back can we go to show just how far we've come in our lifetime. That Avraham Avinu, as it says in the Pasuk, Avraham Avinu himself, just like we wonder why Yitzchak and Rivka could have two sons as Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov we certainly understand, but Esav hard to understand. Avraham having Yishmael, Yitzchak is less of a problem because Hagar was the mother of Yishmael, and so that's less problematical because we attribute it on some degree certainly to Yishmael. But imagine Terach has a few sons, and he has Haran, who's a fence sitter, but you have Nachor and you have Avraham. How did that happen? So he has Nachor, which is the son that he brought up under his wing, so to speak, but yet he also has an Avraham, who's a big tzaddik. And how did that happen? So nevertheless, we've come so far. And we wonder why all these things is, and we get to the point of Hallel, and we burst into song, and that is the point of it. But there are various things that we take for granted. Every day when the sun comes up, or various things when we get up in the morning and everything works, and we go about the day, we treat the matter-of-fact things that go on every day in the world keeps on moving along, and we take everything for granted, and they're just things that are mundane and everyday occurrences. We don't see the hand of God, and we don't necessarily feel the need to say Hallel because we're so used to it. It's like the Jews wandering 40 days in the Midbar, and they're getting mud every day for 40 years. Where they get water, they need water, they get it from a rock, which is why God got so upset later on, because, you know, he needed something even greater to the ones who were still on the fence a little bit and didn't have that same deep abiding faith in God, why they needed something even more. And when Moshe hit the rock, that sort of set God off at that point to be a little angry with him, because he didn't trust God, that he understood once you have even miracles that are so obvious, if they are everyday occurrences, we take it for granted. And that's why, so we say at Hallel during the Seder for those people, but for those people who see every day, as we say in Shmon Esrei, Al Nisecha, all these things that you do for us every day, the Ranisim, the sun rising every morning, the moon at night, and that's why we have a new moon every month and things like that, and we say Hallel, of course, once a month. And so we burst into song even for the mundane. We have a deep abiding faith. We see the hand of God in everything that we do, and therefore we want to say Hallel with a minyan. It has a greater effect when we say it together in shul with a minyan. And so it seems like a very good minig, and a lot of people, obviously, it has gained so much traction, and more shuls say it little by little. And as one Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had once said, when we asked him in our shul when I grew up, it was not the minig to say it, but nevertheless, so somebody asked his opinion to say it. He said, if you say it in your shul, and you just don't want to walk out, so let me ask you, do you have something better to do instead of saying Hallel? You might as well say it. You don't want to say a bracha, fine. But nevertheless, that's what we do. The question is also as well, why did we drop these two paragraphs in the middle? Of course, the very simple explanation is the two paragraphs in the middle don't really have any, don't change the meaning of Hallel. There's nothing lost. But one very interesting thing is when we say Hallel and we say the first two paragraphs and then we stop to eat a meal. When the meal is over, after we have the Afikoman, the first prayer that we have after we say Birchas HaMazon is Shefoch HaMoscha. Very interesting prayer. I believe I probably mentioned it last week. It goes so much against the grain. But why is it placed exactly where it is? The Abarbanel points out that it's exactly in the right place, because in reality it should have been there. It's like a missing paragraph in the middle of Hallel, because what does Shefoch HaMoscha mean? And what is the paragraph that follows it? Shefoch HaMoscha El HaGoyim Asher Lo Yaduucha, you should pour out your wrath to the nations of the world, that don't recognize you, God, as the King Almighty of the universe who caused everything. They don't recognize you. And pour out your wrath on them. And the next paragraph begins, but lo lanu, not for us. Because we give you the honor you deserve. We treat you with respect. We believe in you, so don't treat us that way. Pour out all your wrath on the goyim. It's the perfect place before the paragraph of Lo Lanu. It's a very interesting thought. Of course, when we get to the second days of Yom Tov, when we certainly would like to sing Hallel, we would certainly like to sing whole Hallel, as we do on other Yom Tovim, as we do on Sukkot, the whole Sukkot of Yom Tov. Of course, the main reason is that every day in Sukkot, we bring different karbonas, and therefore we say a different level of Hallel, but on Pesach every day is the same karbon, and that is the reason given. But we would think on the last 2 days of Hallel, for the same reason we would say it on the first 2 days, we would say it at the end, because the greatest miracle of all happened on the last, on the seventh day of Pesach, is crossing the Reed Sea, and that should have generated the biggest emotion. Imagine that not only did we cross the sea, but the sea rose up. We didn't even have to imagine if we had those 3 million people who had to cross the sea, had to go down into the depths. Don't forget, when you walk into the ocean, it gets deeper and deeper as you go, and we would have to go with all the wagons that we had. We would have had to walk down all the way and then climb up a hill. But Bahamayim Lohem Choma, the water rose up to give us a flat surface. Not only was it a wall on a Mimi Namu Mismolom on our right and on our left, but it was also it was a wall on the bottom, which gave us the ability to walk straight across. And that's why later, when the waters came crashing down on the Mitzrayim, the floor gave way underneath them as well. And the miracle of seeing that, all the B'nai Yisrael were standing on the shores on the other side watching all this happen. So you would think certainly that they should sing Hallel, but of course we don't relish, we don't are not joyous at the loss of life, and that's what God wants to teach us. Even though as evil as they are, they were still my creations, and I had to destroy them, and I'm not happy with the destruction of life, and therefore we shouldn't be happy with the destruction of life. We mitigate the destruction of life by saying a partial Hallel, leaving out those two portions, those two paragraphs, just to show that we thank God for his saving us, but not to be overjoyed at the fact that so many people died. Of course, where did they get the horses from? There's so many different opinions, because when the Arba and the Devar and the Arba happened, he said, for all those who do believe in God, take your animals inside, and they guess they did have sufficient animals left over, that the people who did have some sort of faith in God put their animals inside before the Makkah came, and they had, and some want to say forcibly that, of course, the animals came from, they went out and bought, but that's very difficult to say that they went and got from other nations, that they quickly made an arms deal with the surrounding areas, and possibly from who, we don't know, but maybe Amalek even, who knows, and they got their horses from them, but from whoever they got it from. But all these things aside, this is what we would think. So even on the last 2 days of Pesach, we do not say the whole Hallel as well. Now, on Pesach, this year we don't have a Shabbos Chalamoid. So on the seventh day of on the last day of Pesach, we read Shir Hashirim, Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. I might have mentioned this in the past, but it becomes ever more poignant at this point in time, because Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir Hashirim when he was a young man, and it sticks in our mind because the fact is God gave him the ability, even though David HaMelech prepared most all the things that were necessary, all the things necessary to build a Beis HaMikdash, and he would have like to do it himself, but God said, you have too much blood on your hands, and you built your own palace before you built mine, so I'm taking it out of hands, and I'll give it to your son. But Shlomo HaMelech was aware of the fact that even though he had the zchus, he had the merit to build the Beis HaMikdash, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash remained shut until he made a prayer to God, Bavur, which we say, Bavur David Avdecha, we say when we put the Sefer Torah back, which is very appropriate as well, Bavur David Avdecha, Al Toshei Pnei Mashiachecha, please do it for the sake of my father David. And yet when he wrote Shir Hashirim, he does not mention his father's name at all. It says Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. And he makes a point of saying Asher L'Shlomo. This is always bears to say this 100 times over because it is so important as a life lesson. And we all come from someplace in Shir Hashirim, and he neglected to mention his father even one time. Of course, a little bit later on in his life when he wrote Mishlei, when he wrote Proverbs, he mentioned his father in passing when he says Mishlei Shlomo ben David, and then he goes on to he mentions his father at the end of life when he realized all of the things, when he sees what his life has wrought for him and all his downfall towards the end of his life when he had so many trials and tribulations in the end of his life when he had his comeuppance, so to speak, for his misdeeds. He saw the hand of God and realized all the error of his ways. And when he writes Koheles, at the towards the end of his life, he says Divrei Koheles ben David, and he mentions his father David a few times, but he never even mentions once his own name whatsoever, not even once, because he realized he is only a compilation of those who came before him. Divrei Koheles ben David, I am just the son of David, and all the good things that happened to me in my life were obviously through the schus of David. And as the Gemara tells us, when Shlomo died, there was a big problem because they didn't even want to let him into the world to come. He had lost all his Olam Haba, and even David prayed for him, and God and the angels said no, and they wouldn't. God wouldn't let him in to take away because he strayed so far from the path. And it's always amazing to think that somebody who was able to reach the pinnacle of success, he had 40 years of peace during his reign, and yet he writes Shir HaShirim, he writes Koheles, and he writes Mishlei, certainly great pieces of work, which we read on Yontif, two of the Yom Tov, and we read it, and it's very difficult to understand that somebody could sink so low that he has to get only for certain people. Did the Divrei Rishumos were able to finally talk him in by just convincing God to look at some of the good things that he did. And these are tremendous thought process of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, one other thing that we say in Hallel is Hayom Rov Ayonos, which is a very interesting phrase. When the Jews crossed the Yam Suf initially, when they went through Egypt, the sea did not split until the Jews themselves showed their hand that Nachshon Ben Aminadab would jump in first to show his true faith. And when they left, when they crossed the Yarden, it says, Hayom Rov Ayonos Hayarden Tisov Liochar. And it says, What did the sea see? What did they see that they ran and they split for the Jews at that time? And it says, Arono Shel Yosef, they saw the Aron of Yosef. What did that represent? Certainly the Aron of Hashem, they were carrying that time, the Aron with the Luchos in it. Certainly for the honor of God, it was split. But we see some of Farshim make a point of telling us that one of the reasons that the sea split, what does it mean it splits for the Arona of Yosef? Yosef was the person who of all people, even greater than in this respect than Moshe Rabbeinu, because Yosef wore his religion on his sleeve, and we see Vayihi Hashem Es Yosef. It doesn't say Im Yosef that he was with him. Vayihi Hashem Es Yosef Vayihi Ish Matzliach. Yosef was aware of the fact that no matter what would happen in his life and all the trials and tribulations he certainly had being sold to Egypt, instead of cursing his way and trying to finagle his way through all his troubles at the beginning, and he was thrown into, sold as a slave, thrown into a prison, and with Potiphar and various other times that he went into jail, he never lost his faith and was always front and center. He was a Jew. Vayihi Hashem Es Yosef, God was within him, and he was never separated from God. And when the Aron came along, he was with God. In other words, the Aron with the Luchos, the Aron, Arono Shel Yosef, they were together to show that as long as the Jews have Achdus, if they have that unified stance, if Yosef would be as a representative of Klal Yisrael, that Vayihi Hashem Es Yosef, that it was part and parcel of God was Yosef. Part of Yosef was God. And that should be within us. And that's what we're trying to learn from the Yontif of Pesach. And we hope that's what we would get from that's what we get from him. The interesting thing is also one other thing that we said at the Seder, just as a sidelight. Somebody asked me at the Seder, it says Vayihi b'chatzi alayla. It says in our Haggadah that on the first night of Pesach we say Vayihi b'chatzi alayla. On the second night of Pesach it says Va'amartem zevach Pesach. Why we read it one on the first night and why we read one on the second night? What do they do in Eretz Yisrael? Because they only have one Seder. So of course there's one opinion. Nothing is agreeable to everybody. But in Eretz Yisrael, I'm told that they say both on the one night of Pesach. But one of my Haggadahs made a point of saying that originally they would say one, the Vayihi b'chatzi alayla on the first Seder night, And on the second morning, they would get up early and say V'amartem Zevach Pesach. So then the question is, why not say it in reverse order? Why do we give precedence at the Seder for those who would only say one of the Kapitlach to Vayhi B'Chatzi HaLaila? And the answer is a very simple one, that Vayhi B'Chatzi HaLaila lists all the things that happen only at the midnight of the night of Pesach. V'amartem Zevach Pesach happened things, all the occurrences that happen on the days of Pesach, not necessarily on the first night only, but throughout Yontif itself, as things that happen on those days, not necessarily at midnight at the time. One other thing that we say in the Haftorah when we read Shiras David, it's very interesting. We know when we say benching, it says Migdol Yeshuos Malko. We read that one on Shabbos. Any day we say Musaf on Rosh Chodesh or any Yomtiv, we say Migdol Yeshuos Malko. And on weekdays, we say Magdil Yeshuos Malko. Just as a point of order, of course, that Pasuk is said in the Shiras David, and it's also David HaMelech wrote it in the first person, the whole thing in Tehillim. It's one of the paragraphs in one of the chapters in Tehillim. And in the chapters in Tehillim, even though even in this Haftorah, it's spelled Magdil, but we read it Migdol. But in Tehillim, we read it Magdil. And so it's just to say, when David did it for him, when he was just expressing his own thoughts, he wrote Magdil. But we read it when it's for the entire Klal Yisrael, when the Navi writes it, and he's writing in Migdol Yeshuos Malko, when it says that Pasuk in the Shiras David, we read it Migdol, for it's a greater blessing, for we say the word Migdol for everybody, for the whole Klal Yisrael. And the idea is, once again, we learn from Shiras David, and we learn from all these things that David and Yosef and the greats were always never ashamed to not to take any credit for themselves, always to realize that everything they do, Val Nisecha, V'al Niflo Secha, V'Shua Secha, Shabakola Ace, Erev Avokev, Itzaroyim, that everything that happens in this world is through the good graces of God. And that is the only way we can survive, is when we need that unity. May this Pesach bring the eventual unity of Klal Yisrael and bring the Mashiach. Thank you. Have a good evening.